healthy is the fiscal outlook of St. Paul, the finances of the city? A fiscal watchdog group has released a report, and it's poking some holes in what St. Paul looks like finance-wise, fiscally. Joining us now, a member of this watchdog group, former St. Paul City Council member Jane Prince, joins us now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Jane, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. There's a lot in this report. I haven't read every word of it, but I have read quite a bit of it, and it gets very detailed. But I'd like a high-level look. Can you explain very simply some of the biggest things you want to draw attention to and what this report includes?
Absolutely, Benita. And I'm just so grateful to you for reaching out to us. I think this is great information for people to have. Our primary goal here is to have an impact, but through a really good public information education effort. This is complicated stuff, and we just all want to be aware of the challenges that the city is facing and the ones that are potentially down the road if we don't act now. So first and foremost, according to our research, and we have a former city budget director working with our group, which makes this information accurate and very well organized. But we have both the highest property tax in the state of Minnesota and the highest sales tax. And this isn't a place you want to be when you're trying to attract business, when you're trying to maintain our growing population. Do you know, in the last 4 years, from 20 to 23, St. Paul was the only city of Minnesota's five largest cities to lose population. And we all also know that we lost a lot of businesses in our downtown over the last year. What that ends up doing is it means that our tax base is going down. And guess what? Then we all pay more property taxes. It really is a vicious cycle if we don't get a hold of it.
What are you recommending? What is your group, Inside St. Paul, recommending then?
Well, one thing is that we have four new city council members, and I know from having been a council member that your first year on that job is drinking from a fire hose, such a steep learning curve. So our hope is that we will be able to work with the council and help them understand some of these issues in detail that they may not have figured out yet on their own learning curve. First of all, if we look at the budget that's before the council for this fall that has to be approved in December, we've added five major new capital projects to parks. These are enormous projects. For example, the St. Paul River Balcony. It's really exciting, but it is hundreds of millions of dollars. And in this budget for these five projects, the council is being asked to approve $13 million in pre-design costs. Well, you know, that's that foot in the door where, well, once we've designed it, we should go ahead with it, and we really want to build it. Along with that in the budget is $36.9 million of bonding that is being done to do more projects. And there's nothing in the budget for how we're going to pay off those bonds. There isn't anything in the budget addressing debt service on the bonds.
You have, it's just a little bit of a glimpse into all the detail you have in this 18-page report that you put a lot of work in, your group Inside St. Paul. What kind of reaction, this was released yesterday, what kind of reaction, you've sent this to city leaders, I know it's still early, are you getting any sort of reaction from people on the numbers that you've put in this?
We have really gotten some very positive feedback from former city employees who have seen this trend in the wrong direction. Other people who have inside knowledge who say we shouldn't spend money, but before we've taken care of what we have. And Vanita, we have $100 million of deferred maintenance in our park system without building anything new. That needs to be taken care of first before we build these new projects. People can really understand that. Another thing is that the city has over 20% of tax-exempt properties, and that's our colleges, our schools, our hospitals. And we want the city, again, in 2017, the city studied this and worked with the nonprofits and said, do you think you could help us by making voluntary payments in lieu of taxes? So we've had progress on that issue, and we want to look into that again, because meanwhile, anybody that doesn't pay property taxes, you and I are paying for the fire truck that shows up, for their snow plowing, their street maintenance, street lights. So we believe in St. Paul that has so many good nonprofit partners that they will want to be part of strengthening the city.
Jane.
But you're right, we're getting great feedback.
Okay. Jane, I appreciate it. There's so much to this report. Where can people learn more? Do you have a website, or is there a way for people who want to dig into this a little bit more?
We are working on getting our information up on a website. First, I think we'll probably start with a Facebook page. But if people want to reach out to us, it's the email address is insight, insight, .st.paul@gmail.com.
Okay. All right. Jane, I know there's a lot to this. I can't cover all of it in 5 minutes, but just gives you a glimpse.
Sure. Well, Vanita, you're great, and happy Halloween.
Thank you so much. Jane Prince, former St. Paul City Council member of Insight St. Paul. A lot going on. We'll be hearing, I'm sure, a lot about this in the coming weeks and months. 8:29 news headlines with Steve Simpson coming up. Flint Hills Resources, Pine Bend Refinery. When you think of Flint Hills Resources, you think about the people who make the products that we use every day. Gasoline, diesel, jet fuel, propane, asphalt, and fertilizer. But an important part of what they do at Flint Hills is prioritizing safety and environmental stewardship. They contribute meaningfully to the community. They want to make sure they're having an impact. There's nothing more important to Flint Hills than the health and safety of its employees, contractors, and the people who live and work near its facilities. Company strives constantly to use fewer resources, eliminate waste, and minimize emissions. This is not just some slogan of theirs. They actually live this. They really do. They put time and money into it. They've been recognized for it by the EPA as well, 5 years in a row. You want to learn more about Flint Hills Resources, their environmental commitment, their commitment to stewardship. Visit